I have been preaching, and will again tonight for just a few moments, on faith that Christ recognized. I'm not so interested in what man has to say about it. We have so abused and deluded our vernacular, terminologies, words, until they have no kinship to their original meaning. Today, when somebody talks about love, you can just about count on it. They're talking about lust. And nothing to do with it. Today, when people talk about peace, they're just talking about getting ahead, getting satisfied. And I'm talking about the Spirit of God resting in the heart. A lot of difference. And today, when people talk about faith, they're just talking about some kind of a self-esteem. Something that we can do for ourselves, having faith. But I'm interested in what the Lord has to say about it, aren't you?
Yes,
now, I've noticed that there are accounts in the Word of God of which Jesus was pleased to point out and bring to our attention those who He said had faith. He was faith embodied, the author and the finisher of it. So I pretty well know He could recognize it when He saw it. And so, when I look at those whom He said had faith and how they expressed that faith, it brings a kinship to my heart. It feeds my faith. And it lets me see how that my faith is to express itself. We've already preached two sermons, and I wouldn't preach them again, but there are some little pegs that I want to drive on two or three thoughts of what we have preached, because I'm not interested in you getting a whole sermon. I want you to take a truth that God has. We preached, of course, on the woman from Tyre and Sidon, whose daughter was afflicted by demons, by the devil. And we saw how she had faith in the ways of Christ. He said, I don't deal with people like you. Matter of fact, the way I see it, you're a dog, and that's just the way it is. And she came back and said, truth, Lord. If that's the way you do it, then I believe that's right. And, of course, our ultimate thought that I wanted to drive a peg on and anchor it deep is this. If you'll quit fighting against Him and bucking against Him and squabbling, if you'll let Him have His way, it won't be long till you'll get it your way. He said to this woman, even as your faith, so be it. Sister, your faith is going to get it your way. I like it, don't you? And then we noticed another woman who had faith in the worth of Christ. She was a woman that had an issue, as we do. And as she came to Christ with her issue, and she said, if I can but touch Him, I will be made whole. She said, it's going to be worth it if I can touch Him. But I noticed, and I want to drive a peg down there and remind you again that this matter of faith in the worth of Christ has a painful road that we have to follow. All of us at some point in time in our life, when God's trying to bring us to genuine faith, He's going to have to take us by the way of unbelief and get us to losing faith in some things in this old world so we can have faith in Him. We've got too many believers in this church tonight, I can tell. But it's what you're believing in that's hurting you. So He's out to take you down a long road, a painful road, to get you to where you can believe in Him. And also, I would drive a peg in the thought of where this woman touched the garments of Jesus. And I said many times, we physically may feel like we can't touch Him. But tonight, we have touched something that does touch Him. And when it seems as though that you can't reach out and touch Him, just go get something and touch it that you know touches Him. And it'll get you, before you know it, you'll be touching Him. And another peg I want to drive down is this woman with the issue of blood stops Jesus with the multitude following as He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. I want you to know that heaven is never interrupted and inconvenienced by faith. While God has no room for intellect, He'll not give any time to intellect and to education and to religiosity and churchism and to self-abilities. Heaven will just keep on the marching to philosophies and all those other things. But honey, whenever faith is expressed, heaven stops and stands still and gives you the full attention. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Just drive a peg by those things. It might help you in your faith. In the book of Luke, chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. I want to preach tonight concerning this faith that Jesus recognized. I want to preach on faith in the work of Christ. Jesus recognizes faith in His work. And of course, it's not our work nor our ability, but the ultimate goal is to come to the place to where Christ can do His work. Now, I want to begin reading in verse number 16. Mark chapter number 2 gives us an account of this also and amplifies two or three things, and I'm going to go back to that after I read the text. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed, speaking of Christ. And it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. That means someone that was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And here's our text. When He saw their faith, He said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your heart? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately He rose up before them and took up that whereon He lay and departed to His own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. You can be seated. Mark amplifies two or three things that I want to underscore before we begin. In chapter number 2, he tells us again that he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And Mark tells us what Jesus was doing. He was preaching, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, one that was a paralytic, one that was paralyzed. And the Bible said, while Luke said that they carried him, Mark tells us how many carried him. He was born or he was carried of four. It involved four. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Luke told us that. But Mark tells us, and when they had broken it up, doesn't sound too polite, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. Now, I'm interested in this faith that seems to be directed towards the very work of Christ. They have no hope. They have no mindset that they have any capability of doing anything for this man who is lame, who has the palsy. But their thought is, in faith, if we can get him to Jesus, we know he can do the work. True it is tonight. I have no power to do what needs to be done in your heart, nor mine. But my faith tells me that if we can get to Jesus, there's not a situation here tonight that he cannot touch and he cannot heal. And so I want to point out to you three things concerning this matter that Jesus recognizes of their faith in his work. First of all, I want to draw your attention to what I call the fellowship of their faith in his word. I have noted, as I have read this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, chapter number 5, but also throughout the Word of God, that faith is always in full cooperation with all the other truths of God's Word. Faith strongly operates in union with all the other aspects of God's kingdom. I mean by that, faith is not an isolated gift of God that runs renegade through this world, doing its own thing. But it always brings with it some company. You can recognize faith because it'll always bring in some companions. There will be some other things that will come with it. I noticed that in the Word of God and in my own personal life. I have a brother that lives in Cleveland, Ohio. He had 6 children. Me and my wife had 4. And oftentimes, through the course of the years when they were small, I would call him and I'd say to him, we're coming up on such and such a time to visit with you. Well, I didn't have to explain the fullness of it. He just knew that when he got me, he got the whole shebang. We was all coming. Prepare for the whole crowd. And oftentimes he would call me and he would say to me, we're coming down for a vacation to spend a week with you. Well, I knew it wasn't just going to be him. It was going to be him and his wife and his 6 children. If I got one, I got them all. And so it is here illustrated in this faith in the work of Christ. It does not stand alone, but it couples up with all the other truths, and there are a multitude of them that you'll always find faith hanging out with. You'll always find faith companying up with. Let me just mention a few of them and then point them out in our text. I'm talking about the fellowship of their faith in the work of Christ. Acts chapter number 6 and verse 5, the Bible said, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, it's very simple. You're never going to have faith. You can talk about faith all you want to. But anywhere you find faith, you're going to find the Holy Ghost. Because it is the Holy Ghost that ignites faith in your heart by the Word of God. They are inseparable. They always come as a package, as a group. Thank God they do. Acts chapter number 6 and verse 7, the Word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I'm illustrating those things that come hand in hand with faith. If you've got faith, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. And if you've got faith, one of the companions of faith also is obedience. Obedience to the faith. You can sit here tonight and tell me you've been to the altar and you've prayed all the prayers, and as Brother Ken said, you've been baptized, but honey, if your heart is rebellious against the God of heaven, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you're not saved. It's just that simple. Acts chapter number 20, verse 11, the Bible said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many of these, but I'm here to tell you for sure that if faith moves in, the Holy Ghost coming with it. If faith moves in, obedience is coming with Him. And if faith moves in, repentance is a coming with Him. You're going to get sick of your sin and your evil ways, and you're going to turn from those things because faith will work repentance in your heart. They'll come together, and I'm glad that they do. But let's look in particular in our text, the fellowship of faith, the other aspects of God that comes along with faith if you genuinely got it. Notice in verse number 16, before this great work of faith takes place in the hearts of these four who carry this man to Christ, there's some praying done. The Bible said concerning Jesus, He withdrew Himself in the wilderness and prayed. I believe that in union with faith, anywhere you're going to find it, you're going to find some praying going on. As a matter of fact, it is prayer and faith coming hand in hand together that brings us to the place of where Christ can do His work. How many hearts and how many souls have been brought to prayer so that faith can full and freely come to Christ and witness His work? Thank God for prayer, whether it is Christ praying or whether it is prayer ushered out of your heart and out of our heart for a work that God wants to do. Hallelujah for those who would come and bow around this altar or at your house or down by the job, whose hearts have been ignited by faith, realizing God wants to do something. And so by faith you do pray that Christ will be able to do and will do that work. Faith and prayer. Look in verse number 17. It reemphasizes the thought of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So we've got a package deal. It's kind of getting set up for an explosion. I kind of think of it like building a fire. I'll tell you, when you got prayer going on and you got the Holy Ghost present, you got a pretty good setup. There's only one or two things more that needs to be put on that, and you're going to have a bomb go off. And it is going to be an expression of faith, ignited. And so the Holy Ghost, now there's an outfit here that doesn't like anything that's going on because they don't have any faith. The Bible said these Pharisees and doctors of the law were sitting by. The Bible doesn't say they were sitting with, they're sitting by. Problem is, our church has got folks coming in to sit by. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not interested in those folks. I want to come and sit with and sit in on what God's doing. And but it doesn't make any difference if you're sitting by, sitting with, or sitting in. If the Holy Ghost is here and prayer has taken place, then back in Mark chapter 5, or chapter 2, down through verse number 5, the Bible said he was preaching. Well, we all know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when you got the Holy Ghost and you got the prayer and you got preaching and you got the Son of God and you got somebody sick on the same place, there's a pretty good chance something's going to happen. But they'll come hand in hand together. But I also notice that there is people here, I'm interested in the four. The Scripture said they come and they are carrying this man. They are bringing him to Jesus. Thank God. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed. And of course, Mark said that there were four men. And so we notice that in this companionship of faith, that it'll not only include prayer and power and preaching and repentance and obedience, but somehow faith will always couple up with faith. If you got faith, you'll be able to smell it out wherever you go. That's how come that Daniel and the three Hebrew children get together. Faith sucks them up together. And no matter where you're at and what the elements are or how many are there, and the Bible said there's a whole crowd there, there's four old boys here whose faith coupled up. Faith, working with faith. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you, I'm a believer and I believe in Jesus, but I don't need the church. I can do just as well out on the lake on Sunday morning or in the mountains and things of that nature. Oh, no, you can't. As a matter of fact, if you've got real genuine faith, the first thing that happens to you when you get saved is you go hunting for somebody else that's got genuine faith. And what God will do is He'll take faith here and couple it with faith here and couple it with faith here and couple it with faith here, and with four of you expressing faith, you get to Christ and a work can be done. I like the prayer that was prayed tonight as Brother Bearden was expressing the church and his gratitude for it. And I say amen to the prayer that Brother Doug prayed. I thank God for His children who have crossed my path, who have had faith, and have fanned the faith in my soul, and increased the faith that is in my soul. My faith can't do without your faith, and your faith can't do without my faith. We need each other. As a matter of fact, it was one faith that was once delivered unto the saint. And I'm going to tell you, it's been one saint giving the faith to another saint all down through the years. That's the way God did it through His Word. Moses, I tell you, God using his faith in Joshua's life. And I tell you, of Paul, God using his faith in Timothy's life or Titus's life. And tonight here, God using your faith to help somebody else's faith. I like that, don't you? I'm talking about the fellowship of faith. I'm glad that I got a place where I can go and find folks who believe the truth and are headed in the same direction with the same desire. I don't have time to imagine it, but you could just see these old boys as they tote this man up to Jesus, And in whatever predicament they come upon, the two here talking to the two there saying, watch your step. You're backing up now. Move a little to the left. Move a little to the right. We're headed to Jesus. I don't know how much of all that it involved. Quite a bit. But I'm glad again for the exercising of faith in not only my heart, but in your heart. You're helping me. Thank God in faith. So there is the fellowship of faith. It doesn't stand alone. But it cooperates and works together. But the second thing I want to point out to you concerning this faith that Christ recognized in His work, not only the fellowship of it, but I notice the function of their faith. The Bible said again, and behold, men brought in a bed. The Bible said they sought means to bring him in. And verse 19, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. And they let him down through the tiling with his couch, mission accomplished, in the midst before Jesus. There's a function in their faith. Faith doesn't just stand around and talk about it. Faith doesn't just suggest how it could be if just something would happen. Faith's not waiting on the other man. As a matter of fact, if you're going to get a corner, you better get it in a hurry because faith's going to grab it. It ain't going to wait on you. It's going to grab a corner. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, James said, faith without works is dead. And if you've always got to be pumped and primed and pulled, then honey, it's a good indication you ain't got no faith. I don't know what you got, a little bit of religion to get you on to church maybe Sunday morning so it looks good, but honey, you don't have faith. Faith, thank God, has a function. It'll work. God works faith in us, and then He works through that faith that He put in us. And then He works the faith that He put in us or He gave us. In all aspects, faith. You will always find faith active. Even when it seems inactive, it is very active. It is believing God. And so this faith, true faith, works. Because God never gives a dud when He gives faith. It'll always work. It works for God. Faith always works for God. It won't work for you. If you're trying to accomplish your own personal goals, there won't be any faith in that. If you're trying to do something for self-esteem, there won't be any faith in that. If you're trying to take somebody to church just so they can make the announcement of who brought him, there won't be any faith in that, and faith won't work. But faith works, thank God, for God. And only faith can work for God. Nothing else will ever work. It takes faith. But faith has its functions. There's two sides to the labor, to the work of faith that I want to point out to you. Again, Mark chapter number 2 tells us that he was born of 4. That word born means to bear. It means to lift up and also to carry away. So we notice that faith is very active and it is working because it is carrying. Faith will carry. And as a matter of fact, there is no load that's too heavy. You don't have to worry about it for faith. Faith can carry whatever the situation is. And so it's carrying him. It is very active again. But not only is faith Jesus pointed it out here. Verse 20, he said, when he saw their faith. Somebody said, how in the world did y'all get that fellow over here? They said, we didn't. Faith did it. Every step along the way, it's faith that's carrying this man to Jesus. But faith's not only carrying the man, but faith is carrying the men. Because the Bible said we walk by faith. So as a child of God, we're not walking in the energy of flesh and religion. But 36 years ago, when the Lord saved me, He put faith in my heart. And all across this country, I've taken a billion steps, but ain't a one of them been me. It's been faith that has carried me all along the way. The energy and the strength of faith to carry you in spite of the obstacles. Faith is not for the faint of heart. Did you notice they have all of these obstacles? But I got to reading about these prepositional phrases that are in here and the directions that faith will take. It'll go wherever it has to go. It doesn't make any difference. It can carry whatever the load is and whatever the route it takes, it ain't gonna moan and groan. It ain't gonna say, well, I'm just gonna have to lay it down. My back's a killing me. It's not going to say, well, you just know I'm afraid of ladders. I'm not going to climb that ladder, boys. I'll go to the bottom and that's as far as I'll go. No. It's going to press on. The Bible said as you read down through those verses, they wanted to carry him into, but they couldn't carry him in. So they carried him up so they could let him down so they could put him through and get him before Jesus, whatever it takes. Thank God, faith has no preference as to the direction it takes to Jesus. It'll just head out and persevere through it all. It'll go in, it'll go out, it'll go up, it'll go down, it'll go through, just so it can get before Jesus. I like faith, don't you? Because it bears up. It carries the load. I got good news for you, children. Whatever you're going through tonight, I know that God has a gift of faith that can carry that load. That is the function of it. Everything that's ever been done by God since time beginning has been done by one way, by faith. It all has. But I noticed I'm talking about the two functions of faith. Faith, not only carries, it not only bears up, but my heart was drawn to, again, Mark chapter number 2, where the Bible said when they went up on the roof, they have that piling there, as Luke says, and they broke it up. I said faith is not for the faint of heart, because you see, faith not only bears, but faith breaks some things. If there is something that stands between you and God, faith will grab the sledgehammer and go to whacking at it. There'll be some violent, destructive strokes as He's trying to tear up some things in our lives to get us to Christ. They're doing some damage up there. Can you hear it as they tear the roof off of that thing? Faith's not only interested in carrying some things, but it's interested in crushing some things. The same faith that walked around the walls of Jericho was the same faith that brought the walls down. And so it is in your life and in my life. Faith is interested in breaking up some things. Tearing the roof off the issue or the situation. If you walk with the Lord any time at all, you have experienced that. Faith is wonderful. But one day, out of the blue, faith will just come in and say, you know what? That wall needs to come down. And I'm tearing it down. Faith will come in and say, you know what? This job's got to go. It's just all there is to it. Faith will come in one day and say, you know what? I want you to preach. And I'm going to tear the whole structure of your life down, get rid of all these benefits and all this you've got, and get you out there to doing what you need to do to get you to Christ. Faith will start rumbling in your life and in your heart, in your home, in your situation. And the community and the family and the loved ones will think you're crazy. They'll say, why in the world is he doing what he's doing? It looks like he's tearing up a lifetime. You better believe he is. Faith has taken hold. It's heading to Christ. And if it has to tear the roof off, it'll tear the roof off. And it won't do it gently either. It's interested in getting to Christ for whatever way that it takes. And boy, you know that bittersweet feeling when you've been walking with the Lord and then all of a sudden the Lord says, you know what I'd like for you to do? And you say, oh, now wait a minute. That there's four befores I've got in there. I mean, I've got it well insulated and everything else, and it's cost a lot of money. I don't want to tear that down. Ain't another way we could go. I've got a back door. I've got a front door. I'll go out the window if you want me to, Lord. He said, no, it ain't big enough holes. I want the whole wall down. I want the whole roof off. I'm going to break off some things in your life and all along life's journey. Just when I got settled in from time to time and got things a little structured and thought I had it all figured out, then faith started eating away. I heard him go to the shed. He got the sledgehammer. Now he's a beating on my roof. And that's about the time I have to break loose and say, honey, it looks like we're going to have to do something. There's a whole lot of racket going on in my soul. And it looks like I'm just going to have to submit to faith. He said, if I knock a hole right here, we can get him down. You know the wondrous thing about that, and you can put another peg by this. I noticed when they let him down, Jesus didn't rebuke them. I mean, they're tearing up somebody's house. Wouldn't you think that Jesus, at least when they got down there, would say, now you're going to pay for that now. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about that. But did you know that not only does faith please God, it always pleases God and can never do anything but please God. He's never displeased with faith, even if it's knocking a hole in something. Faith can get down that violent and heaven will say, go to it. Tear that thing up. God's always pleased with faith anywhere it finds it, no matter what it's doing. Faith always pleases Him. I'm talking about faith. Its functions. Its fellowship. Faith can get mean. You say, preacher, I'd sure like to believe. Would you really? Do you realize where believing's going to take you? You better think about it. Huh? It's liable to leave that little house you got empty, sending you down the road somewhere. That little faith liable to cause you to walk off on something. That little bit of faith might cause you, as it did Moses, to leave all the wealth and the throne of Egypt to go after Christ. Somebody said, Moses, I thought you had it made down there, buddy. You're fixing the king, going to kick the bucket, you're going to get the throne. And why in the world did you leave out down there? He said, faith did it. I'd have been miserable in Egypt because faith would have been speaking to me all the time saying, let's knock a hole in it. Come on, let's knock a hole in it. I've got the sledgehammer. Let's beat this thing down.
be some vice or some sin in your life. Well, when faith comes in, he gets to looking for that. So this here is between you and Christ. Let me grab my sledgehammer. Let's beat that thing up. How about it? Yeah. I just say, well, how do you know, honey? He's faith done a whole, not only bearing in my life, faith done a lot of beating. It's not only carried me, but honey, there's been many times it's crushed me. And I've had to cry, oh God, please don't do that. Don't hit that. Don't do it. He said, I ain't going to hit it here. You're going to hit it. You notice Jesus didn't tear the heart. It'd have been a whole lot easier if he'd have tore a hole in the roof. I'm seeing something here now, brother. It'd be wonderful if Jesus just come to it out. But honey, he's done put something in you that'll get the job done. He said, well, Jesus, would you come and do it? I don't have that in me. He said, no, I've given you faith and the sledgehammer going out work. Bust that thing up. And then your neighbors watching you out there going, and man, he said, what's Bill and John doing on the roof that he's knocking a hole in it? Hey, it just won't let you alone, will it? They said that they tried to get it. They tried to get through the crowd. They tried to make it through the press. They couldn't go in, so they went up. Made a hole so they could go down. I want to point out to you lastly, not only the fellowship of this faith in the work of Christ and the function of this faith in the work of Christ, but the freedom of their faith in the work of Christ. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 19 again, I hate to be repetitious, but the Bible said they let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. There seems to be an eerie silence after that. As a matter of fact, we don't read anything else about these boys. Not another thing they've done on this account and in this situation. And I think the reason so is because faith doesn't come to Christ to put on a show. Faith realizes that if he gets to Christ, if you get to Christ, then your job's over. It's up to him. And there is such a great liberty and such a great freedom of being able to come to Christ and lay it down, just release it. They brought him and they laid him before Christ. And in freedom, they released him. They laid him there. Oh, have you ever done that and felt the liberty of heart and soul? Nothing's been done yet. Nothing has been accomplished concerning the issue. He still looks as bad and as lame as he ever did. But you've got him where Jesus can take over. And so now, you can just step back. And so they do. They bring him to Christ and they leave him there. Let me emphasize this faith that freely releases. Faith can build an ark, but it could not fill it. Faith could carry the sick, but it could not heal him. Faith could preach the word, but it cannot convict and it cannot save. John the Baptist, when they said concerning Jesus, are you him? He said, are you kidding? The best I can do is take you to the water hole and baptize you. But he said, when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I didn't come here this week with a mission of ever doing anything for anybody. Let me just set that clear. My only ultimate purpose is by faith to come and preach the Word of God and freely stand back and say, Lord, here it is. You do your work. Freely releasing the freedom of their faith, how it freely releases. But not only does this faith freely release, but let me notice and let me point out to you how this faith refrains freely. We're prone in two ways to get under pressure about things. One, we don't want to turn it loose. We don't realize our work is done. And number two, we don't want anybody else to do anything about it. We want to be in charge of the situation. Well, they said, well, I carried him all the way over there. We carried him all the way over there. You ought to have seen how far it was and what we had to go through and all that crowd and that mess and how far we had to climb and then all that work. And then we put him down there and then he didn't want us to say anything. What are you bringing your burdens to the Lord to try to tell him what to do? No, the liberty and freedom of faith is bringing it to the Lord and saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's all right with me. I turn it over to you. Faith's not interested in commanding Christ and demanding Christ and warring against heaven as much of our prayer life is as we come to God and just try to dictate it to Him how we feel it would be best for Him to do things. But they brought this man to Jesus and said not a word. They didn't even tell him what was wrong with him. That's it. Boy, that makes it simple, don't it? If we could just operate in faith, let faith do the work, and then when it gets to crisis... Somebody said, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. Well, what do we do now? Nothing. Simply wait and watch to see what Jesus is going to do. But here's the thrill of it all. We never know what Jesus is going to do. We've got a pretty good idea of what He might do, probably do, and could do, and we think would be best to do. Sort of feel like that if you bring a man that's paralyzed to Jesus, it'd be wonderful maybe if He'd do a little, maybe sprinkle a little water on him. Kiss him on the forehead, show some respect. Make everybody feel real compassionate about it. Show a little concern and then gloriously in front of everybody say, get up and walk. And then everybody just shouts and has a big time. But what if he don't want to do it that way? See, if he don't want to do it that way and you don't have faith, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get mad. Huh? Here's this man sick. He's paralyzed. They bring him to Jesus. They freely release him. And then they freely refrain from trying to tell Jesus what to do. Jesus, I think it's more his right leg than his left leg. Maybe one arm didn't look like it was working too good. I hadn't heard he's been paralyzed from birth maybe 15, 20 years. If that information will help you, it won't. We ought to pray a whole lot less than we do. We just waste so much time telling the Lord all about it. And then telling him what to do about it. And then pretty sure we're going to get mad if it don't work that way. say, well, I took it to the Lord. Now look at it. I've been praying for months and weeks and years. Look at it. It's worse than ever. Why? I thought you said you took it to Him. Did you take it to Him? Then why are you all hyped up about it? This is none of your business from here on out. However, you can see that religious crowd sitting over there. See what happens here. And he shocks them. I mean, he gives them the full load. He doesn't go through no ceremonies or anything like that. And he doesn't even mention what seems to be the problem. He doesn't look at the guy and say anything about the paralysis. They brought him, released him, gave him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, buddy, I believe you've got a sin problem. Can you hear the gasp? What? I can't believe we brought him in here in this condition. Now, in front of everybody, he's embarrassing this poor guy. It's not enough that he's laying there and he can't walk. Nobody knew he had a sin problem. What's he doing? None of your business. He knows what the root of every problem is, and he ain't going to fiddle around. When faith comes to him and releases, he's going to deal with it where it's at. I'm going to tell you something. Only faith can put up with how Jesus deals with things. Sure will. Oh, we can all come to church and smile, look real spiritual when things are going all right. You know how we want Him to deal with us? So that it'll keep us from being embarrassed. Because I really thought that when I first got and saved and got into the ministry, I thought God was really concerned over what everybody else thought about His preacher. So, Lord, then you need to let everything go sweet and smooth in my life so people can testify and say, isn't the Lord good to him? And I can say, yes, He is good to me. He's not interested in your reputation. As a matter of fact, I notice in the Scripture there are several times that He did things like this. It was so uncouth. Seemed to be out of order. It was embarrassing. But on one occasion in specific, He did this several times, I read in the Scripture, but in one occasion, they brought a man to Him that was blind. And they said to Him, Lord, this man is blind. He cannot see. Would you heal him? He said, yeah. Amen. He said, come over here. He looked at him and went, can you imagine the shock of a crowd? Did he just, ooh, that's nasty. He just spit on him. Well, you did want to see, didn't you? It's all right with how he does it as long as you see, right? If you spit on a man, it's going to do two things to him. One, it's going to humble him. Two, it's going to bring the fight out of him if he's got any in him. And God's interested in working on us and dealing with us to do both things. And I'm here to tell you this. And my heart aches as I say it even tonight. But there have been two or three times in my life, and some of you can relate to this, to where God Almighty spit on me. I said, Lord, you know people's talking all over the country. He said, yep, I do. I said, but God, you know I'm your servant, and you know what's all the... He says, okay, hold still. You said you wanted me to use you, didn't you? Yeah, I do, Lord. I don't want to pay you. You said that you wanted me to work for you. Yes, I do. He said, well, hold still. What a I wonder if it'd be all right if he spit on you. Has he ever spit on you? You know what I'm talking about? Them embarrassing times. Them times that humbled you. The times that made your heart ache and you thought you were just going to die and you didn't realize it was that life was going to be that way. And you just felt God going... But there's just something about divine saliva. He spit on the old boy and he said, "Man, alive. Huh? Looks pretty good. I like that." He said, "It's your sins, buddy, that's the problem here. We're going to the root of it." They got all mad and got upset. And then he followed suit and did what we figured he'd do. He'd say, "All right, get up and walk." And the Bible said he got up and he went to his house. Now, I'm again telling you, faith has just backed off and said, "Okay, God. However you deal with it, I brought it to you because I needed to deal with it. If you got a spit, go ahead." But oh, what Jesus is able to bring out of His works. I somehow don't believe this old boy just calmly went to the house, do you? I believe he'd have made Ken Bowman look like a Presbyterian. I believe he'd have went leaping and praising and glorifying God. I mean, the man's been lame, paralyzed. He's shouting all the way to the house. And let's assume he's got a wife or a mama or somebody. Then when he gets to the house, he's a shouting and praising God. They're listening to him. And he's saying, and the first thing he says is, "Honey, Justin, I met Jesus today and he forgave me all my sins. He washed my sins away. I've been forgiven. I'm a new man." And oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, he healed me too. Faith in the work of Christ. The songwriter again said, "Just take it to the Lord." Can I tell you something, children? You're doing too much about your situations. Cool it. Back up and let Him have it. I did tell you, faith is not for the faint of heart.